Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. It's wonderful to have this day where we can come together and worship the Lord and study His Word. But before we do anything, we're going to pray like we always do. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be here today with us. We ask that Thy Spirit would be here today. We ask that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto Thee, as we worship Thee. Inspire us, O God, to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray that everything we do here today would be done according to Thy glory and Thy will and Thy perfect plan. I pray, O God, that Thou would lead, guide, and direct us in all things. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in the chorus book this morning. We're going to start with number 83 in the chorus book from the Rising of the Sun. Number 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise the Lord. From the
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, He is worthy of all our praise and all our worship. Let's go to number 94 in the chorus book and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him." Number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Why not do it one more time? Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. And you know, we don't just have to be in this building to worship and praise the Lord. We can do that wherever we are. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to go to the hymnal now, and we're going to go to number 178, "Where He Leads, I'll Follow." Number 178. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, and dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow. Jesus every day. List to His loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean up
and the Savior and thy soul is secure, where in thee to follow the way, oh, where in thee to follow Jesus every day, where in thee to
is so many things to us, and he is our anchor. We have stability in our Lord. Let's go to number 237 and sing, I've Anchored in Jesus, number 237.
Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me and storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid the tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages.
Let's go to number 18, and sing the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, could you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy blessings. We thank Thee for Thy goodness towards us. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast given us this place. For we know, O God, that we would be lost, helpless without Thee. And we are so thankful for all that Thou hast done for us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy glory. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it just so happens that on this day we have a special request. I got a call from Rob this morning, and he reminded me that tomorrow is Chris's birthday, and he was wondering if we could sing happy birthday to him, so we're going to go ahead and do that. Of course, we do that in a special way, and hopefully I can remember how that goes because it's been a while, but we're going to go ahead and sing that right now to Chris. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. We feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Well, happy birthday. I thought maybe we better sing that twice in case some people didn't remember how it goes and weren't able to sing the first time. So, but happy birthday, Chris. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. And Why don't we sing number 19 in the hymnal? Deeper, deeper, number 19.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, higher every day in Jesus, till all conflict pass, finds me conqueror and in his own image perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious precious holy word. Praise the Lord. Praise the
God, and hopefully that's what we'll do just now, get deep into the Word. Praise the Lord. We are going to be opening our Bibles to begin with to Hosea chapter 1 this morning. Hosea chapter 1. And I am calling this message this morning a door of hope. A door of hope. Before we read even one verse this morning, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, praying, O God, that thou wouldst inspire us as we look upon these scriptures, praying, O God, that thou would speak to our hearts. I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Give us discernment, give us understanding of thy word, for we know that we cannot comprehend or understand anything without thy help. And I pray, Lord, that thou would lead, guide, and direct us through these scriptures and give us great understanding of thy word. I pray that there would be no hindrance is here this morning, but let thy Spirit have free course. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that will perceive and understand. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be starting in Hosea, the first chapter, and in case you're wondering where that is, it's right after Daniel, and it is the first of what is considered the minor prophets. There were 12 so-called minor prophets. Their message certainly wasn't minor, but the reason they're called minor prophets is because they tend to be shorter than the other prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. So they are often called the minor prophets. And there were 12 such of these men. And today we're going to be looking at something that God used a man named Hosea to write down long ago. In fact, Hosea was active between the years 750 and 722 BC. Now, what we're going to read here in this first chapter is very, very unusual. Very, very strange. But it is symbolic of the relationship that Israel had with their God. And we know the history of Israel. God brought them out of Egypt by a mighty hand. He showed them many signs and wonders. He helped them. He sustained them. But they turned to false gods. And that is something that they would do over and over and over again. The Lord would be merciful. He would forgive them. He would help them. And then, a little while later, they could be going back to those false gods. Those false gods that they picked up from the nations around them. And, you know, God did not approve of such things. In fact, when they worshiped those false gods and goddesses, the Lord considered that adultery. He considered that to be spiritual adultery. Because there is only one Lord. There is only one God. And of course we know that God, when he gave the Ten Commandments, he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that's an important commandment, one we still take heart to today. But the Israelites, they had a problem. And we know that they suffered many things because of that. In fact, the kingdom of Israel was split after the time of Solomon. There wasn't a united kingdom very long, actually. There was King Saul, who had his kingdom taken away and given to David. And then there was Solomon after David. And then, after that, the kingdom was split. And you had Judah, and then you had Israel. And in this chapter, we're going to learn that God, he let them know in advance that Israel was going to be no more. At least not the people of Israel on this earth, the physical Israel. There is still an Israel today. There always will be an Israel, and that is God's people. In fact, the Christian people are the Israel today. I know that's not a popular belief, but it's the truth. But Hosea here, this is a very interesting chapter here in chapter 1. Very unusual, and you'll see why once we start reading. But in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." So it identifies the kings that were alive when Hosea was prophesying these things. "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Now that's a very unusual thing to be told to do, but Hosea was told, go and take a wife from the whoredoms, and it must have seemed very strange, but this was symbolic of the relationship that Israel had with the Lord. They knew better, and yet they kept going back to those old gods and goddesses, those false gods and goddesses. And of course, there's only one true God, and all the other ones are just the devil in disguise. We need to remember that. You know, people will get up and say that all religions lead to heaven, or that the Muslims and the Christians worship the same God. That's not true by any stretch of the imagination. There is only one God. But these Israelites, they went and they served other gods, and God called that whoredom. Spiritual whoredom. And verse 3 tells us, So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim,
which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it was at Jezreel where the kingdom of Israel began to unravel. At Jezreel. See, all of these names have a meaning. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. And of course, that's what the name Lo-Ruhamah means, not having obtained mercy, not pitied. And verse 7, But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now people might look at this and they might read, why is it that God would choose to spare Judah? And of course, they were going to be carried off into captivity too. They weren't going to have an easy time of it. But why would he choose to spare Judah and then destroy Israel? But it's interesting because if you look, if you go and you read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and read about all those kings, of course, we know that some of the kings were good, a few of them. Some of them were very nasty. You know, there's Hezekiah and Josiah. There were a few good ones, and then the rest were just really very bad. But if you look at the kings of Judah, you'll see that they had a few righteous kings. And then you look at Israel, they didn't really have any. They didn't really have any good kings in Israel after the kingdom was split. But we also know that God prophesied that the Savior would come forth from Judah, all the way back in the book of Genesis, and that is why Judah had to be spared, because Jesus Christ was going to come forth from Judah. Verse 7, I'll read it again. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor horsemen. See, he didn't need any of that to save them. And that's not how he saved his people. We're going to be looking at how he did save his people, though. And verse 8 tells us, Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And that's literally what that name means. Lo-Ammi means not my people. And verse 10, Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. You know, God here is telling us that even though Israel by and large would be destroyed, there was always going to be a remnant, God's people. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. You know who that head is? That's Jesus. Amen. And we're going to continue now in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, Say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Notice here, the names are suddenly different, aren't they? It's not Lo-Ammi, and it's not Lo-Ruhamah, because when you take the Lo off, that's the part that meant not. And suddenly this has changed. And verse 2 tells us, Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. In other words, God is saying, Israel, they need to turn away from their whoredoms, from their adultery. They're serving these false gods. Otherwise, I'm going to expose their wickedness. They will be completely exposed. And they were. And verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread, and my water, my wool, and my flax, mine oil, and my drink. You see, in Israel, they were worshiping these false gods and goddesses and thinking that these false gods and goddesses were the ones blessing them, giving them good things, and that was not the case. They were worshiping those false deities and forsaking the Lord, forgetting all about him. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy ways with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, and for then was it better with me than now. So God is saying they're going to have a rough time of it. But eventually the people of God were going to realize, hey, we were better off with the Lord. We were better off than the Lord than we are with these fake gods, these fake goddesses. Let's go back to the Lord. In verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. If you can imagine, they took the good things that God had given them, the blessings that God had bestowed upon them, and they gave them to Baal. That's why God was so angry. Verse 9, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, mirth, laughter, joy. That sort of thing. Her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. Actually, you know who really caused those feast days and new moons and Sabbaths and solemn feasts to cease? Jesus. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam. Of course, Balaam there, that is a plural of Baal. Baal was more than one false god. It was several. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. See, they went after those gods and goddesses and they forgot all about the Lord. Oh, we need to make sure we never let anything cause us to forget about the Lord. He needs to be first and foremost in our lives each and every day. But look at this in verse 14. God is saying through his prophet Hosea, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. In other words, he's saying, despite all of her treachery, her whoredoms, all that she has done, my people, I will call to them again. I will call to them again. And of course, we do know that a remnant of the people were saved, a remnant of the people Judah. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And of course, that's where I took the title for today's message, A Door of Hope. Despite everything that had transpired, despite their wickedness, they still had a door of hope. A door of hope. And we too have a door of hope today. And that door of hope is Jesus. In fact, we're going to be looking at in just a little while where Jesus specifically told us that He is the door. He is our door of hope. And verse 16, "And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali." Now this is a very important verse. Of course, we know that back there in Old Testament times, Baal also, the meaning of it was Lord, but it was corrupted. It wasn't the Lord our God. It was the Lord their false God. But this name Ishi actually means husband, which, of course, is a wonderful thing when you stop and think about it, because we know that Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is His bride. We are the bride of Christ, the church in general, the entirety of the church, the bride of Christ. And He is the husband, Ishi, the husband. But you know what? This name is even more amazing because I looked it up. And Ishi has two meanings in the Bible. And the other meaning of Ishi is actually salvation. Salvation. And what does the name Jesus mean? Salvation. It's talking about Jesus here. "Thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies." That's what Jesus came to do. "I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God." And that is talking about God's church. And I'm going to prove that to you right now. You know, if that verse we just read seems familiar to you for some reason, it's because 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you're going to see just why that verse seems so familiar. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to prove to you that God was talking about His church. The church that the bridegroom would establish. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And of course, we know that we come to the Lord as babes, as little children in the Lord, and we feast upon His word, and He gives us the milk. And then after we absorb that milk and we grow in the Lord, then we start absorbing the meat of God's word. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Oh yes, in the Old Testament, God had a temple that He lived in, but now He dwells inside His people. We are the temple of God. Lively stones. Each one of us is a stone of that temple. A lively stone. Because we are filled with the Spirit of God. That's what makes us alive. That's what makes us lively. Lively stones. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You see, when we come to that rock, the Lord Jesus, and we fall on that rock, we're broken on that rock, and he puts us back together. He makes us new. But if that rock falls on you, well, then you're crushed to powder, and it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who will not serve the Lord. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, as God's people, we're going to seem peculiar to the world. They're going to see us and they think, what a strange bunch. We are a peculiar people. But that's okay. We're supposed to be. But look at this. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. God's church, God's people, the bride of Christ. In fact, I'm going to go back to Hosea just for a minute to read that verse again that we just read, so you can see the similarity there. The similarity of what we just read. Hosea chapter 2, and it was that last verse, verse 23. Compare that to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. And I will sow unto her, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Again, comparing 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, despite all that Israel had done, he made a door of hope. A door of hope. And that door is Jesus. He is the door. In fact, let's go to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And the first verse in this chapter is a wonderful scripture for all those people who think that all religions lead to God, that all roads lead to heaven. Is that what the scriptures say? That's what Pope Francis says, but that's not what the scriptures say. John chapter 10, verse 1 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And of course, we know that this is Jesus speaking here. Anyone who tries to come up another way is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, Jesus is so many things to us. Not only was he that Lamb of God, he was also the shepherd. Not only is he the shepherd, but he's the door. Because when you stop and think about it, Jesus is everything to us. Everything to us. And we know his voice. He calls to us. And verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Well, that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? Jesus specifically says here, I am the door. And he is our door of hope. Our door of hope. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's only one door. There's only one door to salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus. People who do not serve the Lord, people who do not serve Jesus Christ, they're not going to go to heaven. Because they didn't go in through the door. There's only one door. I know in this world we live in today, they try to put everyone in heaven, don't they? Someone passes away and they say, well, they're in heaven now. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Heaven is for people who belong to the Lord. Heaven is for people who go in through that door. They are the ones who are saved. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We go in through the door. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only do we have life, but we have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he did that for us, didn't he? He gave his life. And of course, we know that he didn't stay in that grave because he couldn't. Jesus had no sin of his own. He took our sins upon himself. He was bearing the penalty for our sins, but he obtained victory over death. Over death. And because he did that for us, we too can be victorious over death. Not of our own volition, but through him. Through Jesus Christ. And he gives us life. More abundantly. We have that now. We have the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Holy Ghost, which is just a small taste of things to come. When we look at Jesus face to face and we are forever in his presence for all eternity. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. We know him, don't we? We know who our shepherd is. We know who our door is. It's the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's talking about us. We are those sheep, and he brought us all together into one kingdom of God. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment have I received, this commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus, he went to that cross voluntarily. For us and died on that cross, and in so doing made a door for us. A door of hope.
Yes.
You see, without Jesus we would have no hope. But he made that door for us so that we may enter in and be saved and find pasture.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But you know, there are some people who refuse to go through that door. Some people who might even know better, but they refuse to go in through that door. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Not everyone is going to be able to go through that door. In fact, many, many people will not. But in Luke chapter 13 and starting in the 22nd verse, this is Jesus speaking, the 22nd verse. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." They can't find the door. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Oh, what a sad thing when that door is closed. It took too long to find that door. And a time is coming when it will be too late to go through that door. Just as in Genesis, when God instructed Noah to build that ark, there was one door into that ark, just one. It was a door that led to salvation for the very, very small remnant who entered that ark. But then one day, the door closed, and the floods came, the rains came, and all who had not entered in through that door were destroyed. Oh yes, at some point, and only God knows when, it will be too late to go through that door. But thankfully, that door is open right now. That door of hope is open right now. We can still go in through that door today. It's not too late. That door is open. But there are people, eventually they realize too late. Oh, we wanted to go in that door. We needed to go in that door. That was a door of hope. But they're too late. Verse 27, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." God's people gathered from every corner of the earth. "And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." You know, when I read this verse last night about God's people being gathered from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, I couldn't help but think of Isaiah chapter 43. Let's go there right now. Isaiah chapter 43. Of course, we know we have only one God, one Savior, one King, one Redeemer. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to read about that Redeemer in Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah 43 verse 1 it tells us, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. We know that not all the tribes of Israel were saved, but his remnant, his people, those who were called by his name, of course, were saved and are being saved even today. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee.
There's only one Savior. The Bible tells us there's only one Savior. And back here it tells us that the Lord our God is our Savior. But it also tells us that Jesus is our Savior. Thus, there's only one conclusion that we can draw. And that is that Jesus Christ is God, very God. Verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Jesus came and he redeemed us with his life. By dying on that cross, by giving his life, he redeemed us. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed. Now watch this. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, gathered from every corner of the world, God's people, from the south, from the north, from the east, from the west, just as Jesus said in Luke chapter 13. We see it here again in Isaiah chapter 43. Gathered from every corner of the earth, God's people. Verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Notice it doesn't say here everyone ever born, everyone who ever lived. It says everyone that is called by my name. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Now who opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf? Jesus. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There is no God formed before him or after him. But who does Revelation say is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last? Jesus. It's Jesus. This chapter is all about Jesus.
Amen.
I, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And we are his witnesses, that he is indeed God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ship. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. The Bible also tells us that Jesus is the Creator, and there's only one Creator. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Now I love this verse. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Praise the Lord.
This verse here is telling us that Jesus was going to do a new thing. And he did do a new thing. He opened a door of hope. He opened a door of hope for us, a door right there in the middle of the wilderness. And of course we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
So when it says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, it is talking about Jesus. And it's talking about His Spirit, the living waters that flow forth. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. And this verse is interesting too, verse 20. You know, it seems like just about every time you read about dragons in the scripture, it's referring to actually evil spirits, devils and so forth, or even Satan himself. And it's interesting because when Jesus came to earth and he was healing people and doing miracles, even the devils had to bow down to him. And I find that just so interesting. And verse 21 tells us, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. See, in these verses he's talking about the old Israel, before he did that new thing. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. You know, we do serve a merciful God, a long-suffering God, a compassionate God, but he will only let sin stand for so long. He will only let iniquity stand for so long. And then at one point, he's going to say, that's enough. That is enough. But thankfully, when we turn to the Lord, it tells us in verse 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You know, when we come to the Lord, and we repent of our sins, he doesn't remember our transgressions anymore. They are covered in his blood. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. How are we justified? Through Jesus Christ. By repenting of our sins, by declaring him our God. That's how we're justified, and that is the only way. Anybody who ever tries to go up another way is a thief and a robber, because there's just one way, there's just one door, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our door of hope. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Well, we see in this chapter, God was going to do a new thing. And Jesus came, and he did that new thing. He opened that door for us so that we can enter in and find pasture, and be saved, and be in the presence of our Lord. Oh yes, he opened that door for us, a door of hope. But we need to be ready for his coming. We need to be ready, we always need to be ready for when he returns, for that door is going to close one day. That door is going to close. And in closing of this message, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus here is going to tell a parable. I am so thankful that we can enter in through that door even today, but there are people, many, many people, who have not entered into that door. They're not ready. They're not looking for the Savior. They're not serving God. And when he comes back, and he will come back, those people will be caught completely off guard. Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, it tells us, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The wedding party waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. And we should be waiting for that bridegroom right now. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And of course, we know that the Bible tells us that God's Spirit is the oil of the Lord. His Spirit that He pours out. We need to be filled with His Spirit. We need to have that oil burning. Burning within us. That oil of the Lord. And verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for the lamps are gone out. There are five foolish, five wise, and the foolish ones realized, hey, we don't have enough oil. We are not prepared to see this bridegroom. We are not ready. And here he is. He's coming. We are not ready. Quick, give us some of your oil. But they couldn't. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You see, a day is coming when it's going to be too late to get right with the Lord. It's going to be too late to repent. People might even try, but it'll be too late. Why? Because the door is shut. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready. We don't want to get stuck on the other side of the door. But he has made a way for us. He has given us a door of hope. And that door is the Lord Jesus. So let's all go through that door. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to suffer eternal separation from God. You know, when you end up on the other side of that door, that's exactly what happens to people. Hell. And, you know, you think of all the pain and the misery in hell. You think of the heat. You think of the darkness. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is eternal separation from God. Never being able to be in His presence again. But thankfully, that doesn't have to happen to us because He has given us a door. A door of hope. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for Thy goodness towards us, thanking Thee for Thy mercy towards us, thanking Thee for that door that Thou hast made for us, that door of hope. O Lord, we can never repay Thee for what Thou hast done for us, and I pray, Lord, that we would be mindful of Thee each and every day. I pray, Lord, that we would be wise and waiting and watching for Thee, for we know that Thou wilt return one day. Help us to be ready for that great and wonderful day, Lord, for we do not want to end up on the other side of that door. Lord, be with us, I pray. Help us to draw nigh unto Thee, for we know that when we draw nigh unto Thee, Thou wilt draw nigh unto us. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk with Thee each and every day. Fill us all with Thy Spirit. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Why not sing number 85 in the chorus book, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, number 85. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna to the King.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.